this Gospel of Mark in chapter 4, verse 35 through 41, and the psalm that we read. Starting in verse 35. This is, if you remember last week, we talked about the parable of the mustard seed, and for that the land, the growing seed and the sower and all those things. So Jesus had been preaching to them, and the masses of people are coming around Jesus and intensely pressing in on him. And that day when the disciples came to his disciples, when Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Some scripture says, "We will go over to the other side." Remember those words. We will go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." When we sang this hymn this morning that Irene had picked out, someone changed the bookmark right now. See if this one's still here. Everybody changed the bookmark, Irene. They must put it someplace else. Mine or hold, okay? I mean, leaning on the everlasting arm. But the preceding hymn of that, I was looking for. I couldn't find it in our hymnal, "My Anchor Holds." I don't know how many of you remember. Most of you probably remember singing "My Anchor Holds." And I was thinking about times of tempest and times of storm. And of course, this last week, we have had times of tempest and times of storm. And we've had tornado warnings. We've had high wind warnings. We've had, yesterday we had flash flood warnings. And I've had to go out, unlike every other summer where I'm constantly adding water to the swimming pool, I have to go out every day and drain water off of the swimming pool because it's gotten too full. We've had the storm. Any of you who have ever spent time out on the bodies of water in the ocean or the Chesapeake Bay have a deep appreciation for the power of water, of the power of wind. And it's so strong. And the psalmist used this term frequently. He talks about the storms and the wind and the waves and to demonstrate the power of God. I think too often we like to think of God, and maybe because Jesus told us he would send us a helper, as kind of our assistant or someone with a little bit of supernatural power who can help us a little bit when things get tough, who can maybe make something happen that we would hope to happen, or call somebody to make a decision in our favor or cause somebody not to do something bad that, you know, but not really think of God as an awesome God, as a powerful God, as a God who created this very world and universe, a God who made everything that is, and we relegate him off to this kind of corner. That might explain why we come to God too late in the game sometimes to ask, to put our faith in him. The disciples were in the boat. The water was getting very rough, and I've been told by people who have taken a small boat of a similar size across that very body of water, across that very sea, that the wind does get up there and the water, and that they could well understand how they could be afraid. But these disciples, many of whom were fishermen by trade, some of them spent their lives on this body of water. So this must have been a ferocious storm to have them in such fear. I have been out in Chesapeake Bay with my father in waves that I looked up and all I saw was water, and I thought, and they looked like they surely would just fill the boat with one wave. But I always had confidence in my father because I knew he was a great waterman, raised on the water, and that he would get us through, and he always did. But it's hard to remember that confidence when the waves are lifting the boat up and then it's falling, free falling, with no water under it, and then slapping down on the water. And then another wave takes you up so high that you think you surely will turn over. And here they were with nothing but oars or a sail, and they're in the boat. And then they came to Jesus and said, "Don't you care that we are perishing?" Be honest. Did Jesus' response to the, with the, you know, whenever you read this, does Jesus' response to them seem fair? Don't you think in your heart of hearts, does it bother you a little bit that he accused them of not having faith? After all, they came to him. I used to think that, you know, I mean, they came and asked for your help. I mean, what are you doing? Hit them in the face? I mean, you know, they know you can help them. You're the one, and here they are. What was it that Jesus was admonishing them for? What was it? Have you thought about that? What is it that Jesus was saying to them that they didn't have faith? They came to him. They said, "Don't you care if we die?" What was it that Jesus was saying they didn't have enough faith in? What did I ask you to remember? What line did I ask you to remember in this today? What was it?
We will go to the other
side. Let us go to the other side. Jesus already told them they're going to the other side. They should have known they would not die. They were going to the other side. They would not perish. They could not perish because Jesus already said, "We're going to the other side." That was where they lacked the faith. He had already told them they were going to make it. They knew the end before they began. I know you and I never do that, but I think a lot of times we don't listen well enough to the Lord. When the Lord tells us what the Lord will do for us, when the Lord tells us it's going to be okay, we don't listen. We don't have the faith. Jesus said, "We're going to the other side." And then he lay down and went to sleep to go to the other side. Well, he took him over there. Jesus trusted his Father. He had faith in his Father. He knew when he said he would go to the other side, he could go to sleep because God would take him to the other side. His disciples did not exercise that faith that Jesus had taught them about because they thought they were going to die and not make it to the other side. Don't you know that sometimes fear makes us forget even what we know? Intellectually, they knew. Jesus said, "We will go to the other side." Through their experience, they had seen Jesus do miracles. They knew Jesus could get them to the other side. But just as Peter started faltering on the water when he saw the wind and the waves and started sinking below the surface until Jesus lifted him up, our faith sometimes falters even when we know that God will preserve us. It's important to know and remember that God always completes His works. When God begins something, God completes it. God never, ever leaves something undone. God will complete His good work in you. God will take you to the other side. But there will be storms. The important thing is to remember who we are, whom we belong to in the storm, and whom is with us. It is particularly important to me in this particular congregation when I see Linda Unger coming to this church immediately after getting out of the hospital, when other people would use it as an excuse to stay away for a few weeks and recovering. She comes to her family of believers. It's particularly important to me when I see Bill and Ruthie coming to here in the midst of their storm, coming to hear the word of God, to be with their brothers and sisters. It is very important that we know who we are and whom it is who cares for us, whom it is who can get us through the storm. In our psalm reading this morning, it says that God has spoken, stirred up a tempest and lifted the waves and mounted to the heaven. And you remember, don't you remember, as Gary was reading this morning, we're not talking about average people going out for a boat ride. We're talking about the merchants of the sea. These are experienced seamen. These are people who live on the ocean, who live on the sea, who are experienced. And it says here, they mounted up to the, he lifted up the waves, they mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths, and in their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. And when it says here, listen to this, it says, and they were at their wits' end. And once they got to their wits' end, what did they do? Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And He brought them out of their distress. My friends, it is very important that we do not always wait until we're at our wits' end before we seek the Lord. It's important that we do not wait until we've tried everything that we can do before we call on God, who we know can do anything. Jesus' disciples, instead of praying to God, getting on their knees and bowing their heads and praying to deliver them through the storm, did everything they could to maneuver the ship. Just like the merchants in the Old Testament, they did everything they could. They knew what they were doing. They were experts. They had skill. They had abilities. And they trusted their skill, their experience, and their ability to take them through the storm. And when they were at their wits' end, they called on God. And when the Jesus' disciples thought they surely would be drowned, they called on Jesus. We cannot help but have storms in our life and rough times in our life and times of turmoil and times when it seems that God has forgotten us. And it's okay for us to yell, God, where are you? God, I'm here. I need you. That's good. But it's more important for us to be calling on God and in communion with God throughout our journey. We don't have to turn on our GPS only when we're lost. Most people who have used a GPS or a map consult it all along the way. We need to have a communion with God. Next Sunday, two Sundays from now, we'll celebrate Holy Communion. We celebrate our relationship, our exchange, our fellowship with God. It is important in life that we have a fellowship and an ongoing conversation with our Lord, not just seeking God out when I'm at my wit's end, not just seeking out God's direction and wisdom and comfort when everything else that we can do has failed. It's not that God won't be there for you, but we put ourselves through so much unnecessary pain and trouble and fear. We put ourselves through so many things in life that we don't have to suffer through alone. Because God will be with you every step of the way. God will guide you. God will help you to avoid the pitfalls. God will lead you through your life. But you have to trust in the Lord and not wait till your wit's end to reach out to Him. Not wait till you feel you surely will not make it through this to ask for God's help. God doesn't want us to live a reactionary life. God wants us to live a disciple life. God wants us to be His disciples. Discipleship is not for a chosen few. Discipleship is for the few who have been chosen, and that's you. For the people of God who've been chosen by God. God wants you to live a life of discipleship in communion with Him throughout your day, all day, every day. And then we don't have to wait until we're at our wits' end to call out, God, where are you? I would challenge you to go back and read the scripture and stop verse to verse and pause and think about your life. Think about the things that you have coming up, the decisions you have to make, the relationships that you are concerned about, the future that is uncertain, the things that we have to deal with in life. And read the scripture and dwell upon the scripture and understand the kind of life that God is calling you to live. And it's important for you to know that God has already said that we are going to the other side. God has already told you that He has prepared a place for you. God has already told you that He has gone ahead to prepare a place for you, and you need not fear. He wants you to walk with Him, to put on His yoke and walk by His side and be comfortable walking with Him every day. Not in fear, not in anger, not thinking if you don't do this, you'll surely die. Do this in love, and do this with affection, and do this with confidence. And then we don't have to wait till we're at our wits' end to reach out in fear. Amen.